You're listening to Idaho Sports Talk with Preter in the Ballgame on Sports Radio 95.3 FM and 1350 AM. The Ticket.
Welcome back, Idaho Sports Talk. Let's head over to that Fat Guy's Fresh Deli hotline and welcome in a football lifer and a new author, the book, Deny of the Tiger, about that 2004 Auburn Tiger undefeated SEC championship team that didn't get to play for a BCS championship. He's longtime assistant, spent some time in Boise with Pokey Allen on those great teams in the early mid-90s. He's Al Borges, our guest right now. What's going on, Coach?
Oh, God, I know this. I can't live up to that intro. That's for damn sure. I'm jiminy Christmas.
Coach.
Yeah. Well, you coach for 43 years and then you become an author. I don't know if that follows real close, but whatever. I mean, I've hung it up in 2018. I got young kids still. I got a 15-year-old and a 17-year-old, so I stay pretty busy. And I took a trip to Auburn. I came back and wrote a book.
I love it.
So that's my life these days.
Coach, you said in previous interviews that the basis of this book, Deny of the Tiger, you said this is a story that needed to be told. Coach Al Borges, why?
Well, you know, from my perspective, I tell you why I wrote the book. I wrote the book. I was going to Auburn just to show my kid the campus and the Iron Bowl. I didn't even think about a book, you know. But when I got there, it was like I never left. And Boise was a little like this. You know, when I came back to Boise, they don't forget. I mean, if you did well, they don't forget. And it was 18 years after the fact. And I couldn't go anywhere where somebody didn't stop you and just acknowledge the fact that you had that fabulous season. So I got back, and my son, he decided he definitely wanted to go to Auburn now. But I decided I had to do something for the fans. The fans were great to me there, just like they were in Boise. And so I sat down, and I said, let me see if I can write a book and see how long I last. You know what I mean? I do it for a week and get tired of it. Not do. You know, I was afraid that was going to happen and just happened. I mean, the book wrote itself. I was 3 weeks, I was done. And then what I did, I went back over all the DVDs of the games, and a whole bunch more thoughts were triggered. I could have wrote darn near another book just on the watching the DVDs again. So that was the inspiration for it. I felt it was a story that needed to be told about an undefeated team that didn't get a chance to play for the national championship, an undefeated SEC team, which is virtually unheard of, not get a chance to play for the national championship and really have what I think should lay claim to it to this day because of how the thing all shook out. You know, that year the championship was vacated and there was a true champion. And I think I was on the team that was the true champion. So that's what the book's about. It's about a majestic synergy of a team. And I tell you, comparatively speaking, it reminded me a lot of our 94 Boise team. Our 94 Boise team had magic. They had something about them that they came out every week and believed they could win. Now, this was a much more talented team. We had, you know, four first-round draft picks, and we were top to bottom really good. Where at Boise, we had some talent, but we really, really depended on a great team effort to do what we did. But this team being undefeated and all the things where they came from the year before where they were 8-5, the coach was almost fired, and then to come back and do what they did, I just felt that story needed to be told and be told from a coach's perspective, not from an author's perspective, okay? So when you read the book, it's not Hemingway, and it's not Steinbeck, and it's not Gresham. It's Borges, and that I'm a long way from those guys. So you're going to get all the cuss words, all the stuff that's authentic to the scenario. I told the publisher I'd not want you editing out any of the coaching stuff because that's what makes the book different.
We're talking to Al Borges, legendary college football coach, one of the better offensive coordinators in the history of the game, former Boise State guy. Before we dive into some more Boise State stories, Coach, and by the way, I was probably the subject of a few of those F-bombs that you threw out there back in the day. We'll talk about the Boise State days, but what was your conclusion about that 2004 season? USC, Oklahoma, Auburn, Utah, Boise State, all undefeated. The system then only allowed the two in there, USC, Oklahoma. You guys got denied. So what was your final conclusion? Why did that happen, and how did that help fix college football over the next couple of years?
Well, I think we were the impetus for the playoff system because it was the BCS's ultimate nightmare. You had five teams undefeated, okay? And you had an SEC team undefeated that wasn't playing for us. So they had to reassess. Now, it took them a while. I mean, they didn't go to the playoffs. I think it was 2014 before they did it. But it was something that they just simply didn't want to see happen again. We had come from number 17 to number 3, okay? SC and Oklahoma were 1 and 2 wire to wire. Well, that makes it hard, you know, when you come from that far back and then you get to the end of the season and all these teams are kind of bunched together and you got to make a decision. You bump number 3 ahead of number 2 and they haven't lost a game. That's hard to do.
Yeah.
You know, that's hard to do. And they were both really good teams. So it was a tough pill to swallow to do what we did and still not have the opportunity to play for the national championship. Now, after the fact, SC had recruiting, or they had violations and had to vacate the championship, and I still don't understand why we were not declared the national champion, because I believe if there was a vote, we would be.
All right, Al Borges, let's talk about Boise State football. Let's talk about those 93-94 years, and before that, even 6 years with the great Pokey Allen. That was I'm glad you used the word magic, because I don't know if you remember, officially that season became known as the Magic Carpet Ride, because you guys kept pulling miracle victories out of your butt. That mud game in Eastern Washington. We'll talk about the Idaho Vandals game here on the Blue. But what do you remember about the 94 season, the Magic Carpet Ride?
Damn near everything. I'm telling you, I almost remember all of it. I remember the beginning, you know, when we played we started off, you know, and coming off a 3-8 season, I don't think the expectations were very high, you know. And we had a favorable schedule, but we were starting to play now. I mean, I remember playing Nevada, I think, what, third or fourth game? And we hit them with a flea flicker, I think, the third or fourth play of the game for a touchdown, and we threw a Hail Mary for a touchdown at the end of the half. And I think we were ahead like 24-0, and they had a good team, and they ended up having a good record. But when we beat them, I think we knew then we were real. You know, we knew some of the teams we played Northridge earlier, and we played, I think, Liberty, who weren't bad teams, but they weren't teams that you could say, oh, my God, they're on their way. You know what I mean? But when we beat Nevada, I think the team gained a whole new confidence that allowed us to play the rest of the schedule. So I think that was big. I think, another game that was really a big, big shot in the arm was the Montana game, when we basically, I mean, we took their quarterback apart, knocked him out of the game, who's a hell of a player, really a good player. We played real well offensively. We played real well defensively. And after that game, I started thinking we could win the national championship. You know, before you kind of said, oh, let's just win the league, you know. But after we beat Montana like we beat Montana, I was starting to think we had a shot at winning the national championship. We just stay healthy. And then we came down to Idaho, and this was like the exercising all the demons. I got so sick of people every time. When are you going to beat Idaho? When are you going to beat Idaho? Oh, my God, we just got to hear that. But it had been 12 years, and it was understandable why the fan base was getting impatient, you know. And there's so many Idaho people in Boise, you know. That isn't like that anyplace else I coached, where, you know, you get a few. When I was in Auburn, there were a few Alabama fans, but they kind of kept their mouth shut, you know. In Boise, the Idaho fans, I have never heard where people would say, you know, I'm pulling for you guys every game but one. Nobody says that anywhere else, okay? And the one game was if you played Idaho, they were pulling for Idaho. So this was a demon that had to be exercised just so we could, you know, sleep at night. And the kids went out under all that pressure. I mean, it was basically a league championship game, right? If they beat us, they win it. If we win it, we win the championship. So the guys went out, played their butts off. Again, same type of deal, much closer game than the Montana game. But I just have the memory of watching that them rough our punter at the last play of the game and seeing that flag going up and going, it's over. It's over. That's it, you know. And then I had Joey Aliotti was holding my cord, and he tackled me. You know, I told Joe, I said, Joe asked me, he says, can I hold your cord? And I gave him two rules. I says, okay, you can hold my cord. Number one, you don't drink before the game, and you don't yell at the officials. He violated both, okay? He violated both. So he tackled me, and then my quarterback from Portland State, Chris Crawford, he jumped on top of me. And then they picked me up, and this is the one that killed me, is I had popped off. This is the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life, and that's quite a distinction because I've done a lot of stupid things. But I had said that if we win the game, I'm going to tear the goalpost down. Now, Mike, I was kidding, okay? I was just kidding.
Sure you were, Coach. Sure you were.
Yeah, I was. Well, they weren't, okay? They weren't kidding, and I didn't really think that anybody was going to take that seriously, okay? Well, when I got up, there was a huge group that came over that were ready to escort me to the goalpost. But I said, there's no way that they're getting me there because all the fans are on the field. Well, I looked up, and it parted like the Red Sea, okay? And they ushered me up that goalpost that we couldn't get down in a million years. I mean, that thing. And then I remember talking to Yankee afterwards, and he says, I built that goalpost. There's no way you were getting it down, he said. So, you know, we made our futile attempt to get the goalpost down, but it was probably to that point in my coaching career as big a highlight as I ever had. And that demon got exercised, and Boise people could go back to smiling and popping off, and that was wonderful.
Buy this book, Deny of the Tiger. It's written by legendary longtime college football coach Al Borges, our guest right now. The book to be released in August. And, you know, Coach, you've been at every corner of college football. You've been high-level SEC. You've been in the Big House. But you've had being a special part of that Boise State run, 93-94 with your great bud Pokey. What has it meant to you to have seen Boise State evolve from, you know, that first time going to the FBS in 96 to where it is now? I'm sure you've paid some attention to it. Yeah. What do you think about this, yeah, Coach?
I think it's about the coolest thing ever. You know, Chris Peterson was my wide receiver coach at Oregon. And I love Pete, because he's a great guy. And when he got the job, I had a special attention to Boise. Now, I always did. And I've always said to this day, of all the places that I enjoyed living the most, Boise's number one, and definitely one of my favorite places to coach. But watching what they've done, the evolution of the program into Division I and the transitional growing pains that went with that, I didn't have to go through, but Pokey did, and some of the other coaches did. And then seeing where they've come, is just unbelievable. I mean, it culminated, I think, by what they did. They got everybody's attention when they beat Oklahoma and the way they beat Oklahoma, you know. And from that point on, and even before that point, but from that point on, Boise's become a nationally recognized football program. And they built it from way back. You know, they were JC at one time, you know. And now they're very well respected on the national stage, and for good reason.
Coach, you spent a couple of different stints at Auburn. You know that school, that university, those boosters, that program, that environment as well as anybody. Brian Harsin is living the fire. He's living his dream, and he's living his nightmare at the same time. I know you know about the revolt that happened earlier this year. He seems like he's okay. He'll prove it on the field or not this fall, and we'll see what happens. But what's it like to be inside the head of an Auburn head football coach and what Brian Harsin has to deal with?
Well, it's kind of Boise on steroids. Does that make any sense? The fans are just so rabid, you know, and it's what makes it great, because I love the Auburn fans. I love the Boise fans. But they were just unbelievable. But because of that, Mike, it's very volatile. And anything that's said, done, if you don't win, everything's compounded. You know what I mean? It's just not fun. It's the best place to be when you're doing well, but it can be the worst place to be when you're not. Yeah. And when you come from a place like Boise, that you're a good pick as long as you win. But then if you don't win, you're an outsider. Well, I think Brian's transitioning to that. You know, he's learning what it's all about, learning the ropes, because he knows the football. You know what I mean? He's a good football coach. I recruited Brian to go to Boise State out of high school. I known him forever, and he'll do fine, but he's just got to get acclimated to the Southern mentality and how things work, because it's a little different. You got to be a little bit of a chameleon, which I think he's learning. And once he gets the team on his feet, up on his feet, I think you'll see a completely different atmosphere for him and for everybody else.
Buy this book, Deny of the Tiger, written by Al Borges, detailing really one of the quirkier seasons in college football history. And I'm guessing you got a lot of Boise in this book too, Coach, about tearing the goalpost down and all that stuff, right, Coach?
Yeah. Well, there is some Boise extras in there, and I talked about, you know, the rivalries. Okay, I'm thinking about doing a whole book on rivalries because I've been in so many big ones. I'm going to see how this one does. I may do that eventually, but just what I did in one section of the book is just went through the Boise State Idaho rivalry, which isn't what it was. You know, you remember how it used to be. I mean, oh my goodness! But if you just want nastiness, I mean, just flat nastiness. Back when I was Boise, the Idaho Boise State rivalry was as nasty as any I've been in. Now it doesn't get the national exposure, certainly didn't at that time. It was fun. I loved it. Now I love it that way. That didn't bother me at all. But it made my rival list. I definitely talked about it in the book. I was not going to deny them that.
I love this, Prater. We got to keep bringing Borges back on. This dude loves to talk football just like we do. Coach, can't wait to read the book, Deny of the Tiger. They still talk about those teams you were on here with Boise back in the day, and we really appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. Always good to talk to you. Maybe we'll get together again once the book comes out in August.
Absolutely, Coach. We'd love to have you back on. Thanks again to the great Al Borges. Now's the time to feed your trees, shrubs, and flowers. I'm talking about Zamzos Thrive. Thrive is a liquid fertilizer. It'll stay in the soil and feed your plants when they need it. Pick up Zamzos Thrive today. Available at all area Zamzos locations. That's 13 of them. PGA Championship tee times are out. What about Troy Merritt? What about Tiger Woods? When are you going to be able to see them? JP's got the details next on Idaho Sports Talk.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.